Thank you, and I'm really excited to be here, and that so many of you are here. This project was started out as a summer project last summer, 2014, working with a couple students. $10,000 grew, as projects sometimes do, and about a year later, we feel like we've sort of given birth, and so I'm here to share our baby with you. I'm really excited about that. It's partnership between University of Delaware. I'm in the School of Public Policy Administration. We actually don't have a School of Public Health. We're, I think, the last state that doesn't have one, so we're working on that. But I'm in the School of Public Policy Administration. My partner, Cassandra Coates Johnson, is at the Division of Public Health. She's the Director of Community Health, a terrific partner in this process. Gabby Ransford was a public health associate who's now in graduate school. But the entire process, which I'm going to tell you about, was really a kind of back and forth partnership. And there are several other folks that I'll talk about in a second as well. So I'm going to tell you about our health equity guide, is what we call it. I want to give you, I don't have any disclosure, sorry, I forgot to mention that. So I want to give you a little bit of background, tell you about our purpose in developing the guide, and really focus on the methods, how we developed what we did, a little bit about what's in there. That'll be the part of the talk when I start going fast because I'm running out of time. So just know you can download the guide. The full guide is a PDF from this website. We're also in the process of developing more of an interactive website. I don't like that it's a 200-page document, and even the PDF is unwieldy. So we're out of resources, but I have a student who's trying to develop more of a dynamic site that we can update and continually add to and things like that. So I'll share that URL with you as well when we have it. Okay, so a little background and purpose. 2012, I was invited to work with the Division of Public Health on a strategic plan for health equity. It was one of our director's four priorities when she took office. And so we spent about 2 years just doing professional development around social determinants of health, education, planning workshops, just a lot of time getting public health staff to really understand and embrace social determinants of health and this approach to health equity. And we ended up with this beautiful strategy map. We used a balanced scorecard approach, if anyone's familiar with that process. So this is a strategy map. You can see, I don't know if you can read, our vision at the top is health equity for all Delawareans, where everyone will achieve their full health potential. And we have objectives at each perspective, and the idea is that these objectives roll up to our vision. And so 2 years later, we've got this beautiful map, and we have resources behind it, and everyone stopped and said, okay, now what? How do we do this, right? We know we need to work with communities. How do we do that? We know we need partners. How? We know we need to advocate. And so staff were behind the ideas now, but really didn't have the skills and the tools to actually implement it. And so this guide was meant to sort of fill that gap between translating the plan into action. And so that was really our purpose. I want to talk about our methods for just a second. My colleague, my contact at the Division of Public Health kept talking about, we really want evidence-based strategies, evidence-based practice, evidence-based policy. And it's an important shift in the field that we are informed by the evidence. We didn't always do that very well. And so it's kind of a given that we need to use evidence. But I get concerned because when we talk about working with communities and we talk about health equity, almost by definition, it's unique to every community, right? We can't take a project or a program or a policy and transplant it and replicate it somewhere without taking into consideration the values, the needs, the priorities, the voice of the community. And so I was really excited to find this model. This was on the CDC's website, and there's a link there for anyone who's interested. But it puts decision-making and public health at the intersection of the best evidence we have, the needs, priorities, values, perspectives of the community, that's the voice of the community, and then our resources, right? Could be financial resources, could be skills of our staff, whatever it is. It's those three things that have to intersect and come together for us to make decisions that are gonna work for our communities. And so all of that also happens within the context of the broader environment and the culture and the politics and all those things within our systems. So this was this guided our approach, and this was sort of our preface to talk about how we did this. Importantly, this best available evidence, there's a lot out there now, and I'm so grateful for all of these organizations and others that have, you know, share their work freely, because very little in the guide is new. What we did was sort of take all of this and try to synthesize it and think about it in the Delaware context or in the context of our communities. And so our process was gathering much of this sort of gray literature, because there's not a lot in the peer-reviewed literature, and think about how it resonates with folks in Delaware. And that was our process. Part of that was also going out to our audience once we had a draft together and say, what do you think? Is this useful? Is this, are we missing anything? Is this going to be helpful? What do you need? This is an excerpt from our acknowledgments page. What's missing here is the what I call the true community voice. It is not, residents are not reflected here. The local community where we're hoping to partner is not here. This is the audience for the guide. And so we do talk a lot about, you know, in terms of strategies, now we need to get to the next level and think about how we engage the voice of the true community. But this is our largest healthcare system is here, our children's health system is here, the university, the Division of Public Health staff themselves. NATO was our sort of stamp of approval, although if anyone knows Richard Hofrichter, it was he has concerns, and we can talk about that if you have questions at the end, and they're valid concerns. But this was our group of folks who provided feedback, and then we revised it. And this is why the process took so long to get the guide in place. So the guide is built upon or begins with, you know, our stream metaphor, and I hope everyone out there is familiar with, you know, our parable that we use in public health. Images and metaphors are really powerful tools for communication, and it's not perfect. I got some criticism for using the metaphor, but it reaches people where they are. At least it did in our state, right? It was a way to talk to people in our state who weren't necessarily familiar with the idea of moving upstream. The other thing our metaphor does, I think, or I hope, and you can tell me, we take it a step further than is traditionally used. So the idea is we have treatment downstream and we have prevention upstream, and we need to move upstream, right? When it comes to health equity and social determinants, what we try to talk about is the need to think about what's going on upstream from a structural perspective, a system perspective, right? So it's not individuals falling in the stream. There are communities that have different resources along the stream. Those different resources translate into the sort of the quality of their bridges and their fences. And so we talk a lot about that idea, and that metaphor gets woven through the guide, and we talk about how we create stronger bridges and fences and make sure that every community, whether it's, you know, low-income communities, communities of color, communities of individuals with disabilities or gender, sexual orientation, those that are viewed as other in some way, that all of their bridges and fences are strong. And so we talk a lot about how we do that. And it's about distributing resources differently and about thinking about how we build healthier communities. And so that's the way we use the metaphor. And that became kind of our theme for the entire guide. We also use this framework. This, again, is not mine. This is borrowed from BARHI, the Bay Area Regional Health and Equities Initiative, if folks are familiar with them. This is a great framework. What's important here is sort of all the stuff here. We started thinking this was going to be a place-based guide, and we realized there's much more that needs to change. We do need to move people upstream and talk about place-based strategies, but there's actually things we can do within healthcare that can address health equities. There's obviously policy strategies. And so this is a very comprehensive way to look at the kinds of changes we need. Our focus was sort of on that middle box with living conditions, and how do we build community capacities to address living conditions? How do we get civic engagement? We need to do policy, we need to train folks. And so that's our focus, but it's recognizing that all of these things are important. And so this sort of laid out the contents of the guide, if you will. Again, here's our contents. Importantly, the foreword is from our director of public health for the state. This was a call to action. It was really the first time a public health leader in our state talked about inequities as being unacceptable, as this being unfair. It's funny, I lived in Delaware about 10 years. Delaware's a blue state, but I came from Massachusetts and I was trained in Minnesota, so it's blue is relative. And so this was important, and to have her support and her you know, real strong call to action was important. Introduction background, this is all about social determinants of health and health equity. Case for change is we did a couple things. We talked about what's going on, oh my gosh, 2 minutes. Okay, we talked about what's going on nationally, but then we made it real for Delaware. So we talked about healthcare costs in Delaware. We talked about what's going on in Delaware with our state innovation model. We tried to frame it within what was happening in Delaware. We do have upstream strategies for community health. Those are our place-based strategies. And then we also have strategies for healthcare providers, knowing that there are things that can happen within the healthcare system. We have policy-oriented strategies, we have research and evaluation, and then we have leadership. Importantly, each of these sections has a glossary, it has additional resources, it has links for all these wonderful resources that are already out there. I'm going to skip way ahead because you can look through the guide and get some of these contents yourself. What I want to talk about for a second is just what we're doing now. This is my colleague Cassandra Coates Johnson said, make sure you tell them we are committed to making sure this guide is really a dynamic tool that doesn't sit on a shelf. That's why we're working on the website. That's why she is going out and training community partners. She's training her own staff, but she's also training community partners. We are going to be using it with some of the implementation of our state innovation model, healthy communities work, and so we're using it in those forums. You know, ultimately, we really hope it helps lead to a culture shift the more it gets integrated and the more it gets used. As I mentioned, we're working on this website. We don't have any resources other than a couple of students that are interested in doing this with me. So this is a work in progress. We're using a free web-based provider to do this. If you're interested, please give me your card and I'll make sure you have the link when it's ready. And my contact information, because I would love to share this with anyone who wants to look at my baby pictures. So, thank you very much.